So I have no relationship to disclose. Just an overview of my presentation. I'm going to talk a little bit about a local health department infrastructure in Connecticut. It's a little bit 18th century, not like you folks who live perhaps in the land of county health department structures, which are fantastic. I'm going to talk about the use of the Health Equity Index and what the Health Equity Index is, does, and really what it was designed to do, and the project evaluation findings. The conceptual framework for this whole project, if you're interested in more detailed look, can be found in the Oxford Press 2010 edition of Tackling Health Inequities Through Public Health Practice, a handbook. So here's a map of Connecticut. Yep, good, the colors didn't wash out too badly. So the blue areas are towns that are covered by health districts, so where a few towns have joined together to provide public health services to their residents. Green shows part-time health departments, where you might have a private practicing physician somewhere who signs public health orders. He's called the health director, and a part-time sanitarian that does some routine inspections. So this is where the 18th century model comes in, right? Those part-time health departments. And then you've got the yellow, which are the larger municipal health departments, more like health districts. They provide more comprehensive health services. About 95% of residents in Connecticut are covered by either a health district or a municipal health full-time health department, so it's not all dire. In 2003, local health directors in Connecticut were surveyed by CADH about health equity, and they were asked if they believed that the public health workforce and the resources behind public health should be devoted to health equity. And 74% of respondents believed that they should. They also felt that they should collaborate with other sectors and other disciplines to advance a health equity agenda. But 82% of respondents reported that there was a great need for training in these areas, that their staff didn't have the knowledge to advance a health equity agenda in the way that it needs to be done. It may be that 74% would have been higher if more staff were already trained in those issues. I don't know. But as a backbone for addressing health equity, the health directors also indicated that good local data was paramount. It was so important to be able to bring data forth to communities, to other non-traditional public health partners, so that we can all start talking about similar things in a similar way. So good local data was really paramount. And that's where the Health Equity Index comes in. So in designing the Health Equity Index, there has to be a solid theoretical conceptual framework, good quality data, and sound methodology. And if these three conditions are met, then you have a good index that can be used for policy making and policy evaluation. Now, a little bit about the Health Equity Index. It consists of three primary data sources: health outcomes, social determinants of health indicators, and demographics. And among those three branches, there are about 80 indicators in there. Each of those indicators is mapped, if it can be, at a hyper-local level. So basic analysis rates are calculated at the census block group level, which is a really small geographic area, for those of you who don't know, if it's possible. And they are correlation coefficients were calculated to make links between the social determinants of health and the health outcomes. So that you can see, for example, if neighborhoods that have higher rates of poverty are correlated with neighborhoods that also have higher rates of STDs, you have a measure that can show you that as a scientific foundation, that can show you that relationship. Instead of just sort of talking abstractly about it, you have a solid scientific foundation behind it. So we have about 80 indicators, and there was a rigorous selection criteria before you could pick an indicator to be part of the index. Availability, affordability, reliability, all these different things had to meet. This is a really rigorous selection criteria. For example, we really wanted to have a transportation indicator in there. I don't know if anybody has good transportation indicators that they have in mind. The one that we found that was available for all 169 towns in the state of Connecticut was the average number of cars in the driveway. Okay, so look at the bottom one there, compelling and interesting. How compelling or interesting is the number of cars in the driveway? No, right? It's not. It's also not relevant and action-oriented. How do you take action on the number of cars in a driveway? Right, so that's midway down that list. I mean, you just can't. So we started with hundreds of indicators, and a lot of them just fell off. These are the seven categories of social determinants that ended up in the index. We started with the 12 that are identified in the CDC. The CDC Directory of Social Determinants measures at the local level, and from those 12 domains, we ended up with these seven. Again, transportation is not there. There are a number of others, and that's because we couldn't find good local data for all 169 towns in Connecticut that met all that selection criteria. These are the broad themes for health outcomes, and within each of these, there are a number of indicators or measures. And they really run the gamut of somebody's life. So we have indicators like prenatal care, so before someone's born, then low birth weight right after someone's born, emergency room visits for children with asthma, 0 to 18, so adolescents, then you have STD rates, for example, for people who are young adults, and then all the mortality statistics, because everybody dies eventually. Now, our objective was really to create an index to drive a form of community-based participatory research. You bring data out to people. It's got a solid analytic foundation. It's simple to look at. So these indicators are all measured and calculated. You calculate rates, but you also score each of the measures across every geographic unit in the state of Connecticut based on the Connecticut median for that indicator. And you just give it a score from 1 to 10, 1 being really bad and 10 being really good. So if you're in a neighborhood where there's not a whole lot of cardiovascular disease mortality, you're going to be a 10. Great. So you can look at some very complex statistics, the correlation coefficients, but you can also look at some very simple numbers, a 1 through 10 scoring system. And the idea was to be able to bring this to non-traditional partners. So in public health, we love talking about rates and correlation coefficients, and epidemiologists, this is the stuff I live for, right? But if I go to a housing planning development person in a municipal municipality and I start talking about correlation coefficients, I don't know how far I'm going to get. So we wanted to make it as simple as possible also. And also when you bring this stuff out into the community and start talking to residents, that single number score is really powerful. And it means something. And if you map that across different census block groups in somebody's town and they can look at it and see, oh, that's where I live, right there in that neighborhood, that is really powerful. So really this was about driving policy change from the ground up. You get people engaged with the data, and hopefully they identify some of the priority issues. But again, let's get back to training, right? So in Connecticut in 2003, when we did this initial survey of local health directors, they expressed the need for training. Their workforce wasn't prepared to advance a health equity agenda. They needed good, solid data. The index comes in. They needed training. So workforce development, understanding the health equity index, and then translating that into the community when you go out to do community engagement was this model approach for the program. And so the overall goal really was to develop partnerships with community residents, organizations, leadership, municipal heads, municipal departments, and to start making decisions about policies that affect health at the root causes of health. You know, and we're not talking about behavior change. We're talking about structural environmental change at a basic level. You know, this is primary prevention. There were three pilot sites initially for the project: Groton, Hartford, and New Haven. You'll see New Haven and Hartford are the bigger cities in Connecticut. For Connecticut, 125,000 is a lot. Maybe if you're from San Francisco, that's like your block. I don't know. But in Connecticut, that's really big. Groton, much smaller, 40,000. The number of staff at each of these health departments also varied, and the number of staff that were trained and actively engaged in the projects also varied. Hartford and New Haven chose to take this data out into all communities in their towns. Groton chose four different neighborhoods, and they were very different: low socioeconomic status, middle income, high SES neighborhoods. And the number of hours differed. The sequence of activities, I won't expect you to read it, and I won't read it to you either, but they were slightly different. There was a lot of ongoing workforce development throughout for each of these sites. The epidemiologists got the index in March, in the spring of 2009, and really looked at it quite a bit. And community engagement started at various points for each of these sites. Groton chose to bring data out into the communities and ask residents, what do you think is important? Hartford was somewhat similar. They brought data out and they asked residents, what do you think is important? In Groton, it varied. Cardiovascular disease, prenatal care were a couple of issues that rose to the surface, births to mothers under 20, teenage pregnancy. In Hartford, it was healthy eating and active living. So nutrition was a big issue in Hartford, and Hartford basically is one big food desert. So that wasn't a big surprise. New Haven, theirs was slightly different than Hartford's and Groton's. They were driven in part by their mayor's agenda to reduce violence, gun violence in particular. So they were really focusing on violence prevention. So each of the local health departments used the Health Equity Index to varying degrees to assess community health needs. That's a very basic, you know, monitor the health status of your population, sharpen their focus in strategic planning and decision making, foster collaboration with community organizations and municipal leaders, develop your workforce, help people to understand how data can impact people's lives, and writing grants, which is what a lot of people in local health departments are doing. But this is a great data source for people in Connecticut to demonstrate need, right? When you're writing a grant, there's that big section, demonstration of need. And it's a section where if you're in a local health department, you go to your epidemiologist and you say, what's the need? You know, show me the need and write that section for me. So all local health departments in Connecticut now have a demonstration of need right there at their fingertips. It's really tremendous. As an epidemiologist, maybe I'm out of a job. I don't know. We'll find out. The evaluation of the program was sort of two branches, evaluation of the index and evaluation of this CBPR type of project. So to evaluate the index, CADH brought in outside subject matter experts. The Yale University Department of Biostatistics evaluated the methodology, the correlations, the principal component analysis, all the analysis that went into the Health Equity Index. And they sought feedback from the pilot site. So I regularly called CADH to say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. It's got to be a little bit different here. This isn't working for the following reasons. And they hired Applied Survey Research, which is, I think, here in San Francisco. Anybody know ASR? No? It's in California. I think it's in San Francisco. To evaluate the CBPR type of programs. They did pre-post surveys to see how the community engagement was going. Was the capacity being built in the local health departments? Did it increase knowledge in the staff, in the community? How was the index used for policymakers? Was it good to reach out to policymakers? So ASR did that part of the evaluation. And here's a quote from one of the local health directors. The index has been a consistent go-to tool for us, one we can depend on. And it gives us concise information on specific social determinants of health. It's fantastic. I mean, this is happening all over Connecticut now. Local health directors and other staff are looking at this all the time. So how was it evaluated? How did it turn out? Well, for untrained employees, people who weren't trained in the concepts of health equity and how you can use data to bring about policy change, 48% said that they're familiar with the major health inequities affecting residents in their communities. Trained employees, nearly 90% said that they were familiar with the major health inequities. So the training, the capacity building, the workforce development, if you will, really worked. Here's another quote. It's a great tool to engage health providers, business, government, nonprofit organizations to align themselves towards that major goal of addressing the health of all its citizens. And that's what it's about. It's about convening people. And the health department really is uniquely positioned as a convener because so many things we know impact health. Instead of having a siloed approach and not talking to housing and economic development and education, the health department can act as a convener in these cases. Here's another quote. The workforce development process has been extremely beneficial. If you think about what public health has traditionally been and then you want to talk about health equity and talking about education with the education officials and talking about economic development with your municipal leaders, that's a challenge for a lot of health departments. So without workforce development, this really is impossible. I just don't know how to speak this language without that kind of workforce development, without the trainings. How useful do you think the training will be for your work? At Ledgeley Health District, 93% said that it would be a lot or somewhat useful. In New Haven, it was 55%. In Hartford, it was 80%. So the training really was useful for a majority of the staff involved in these projects. As far as capacity building, so how useful has the index been in showing the connection between the social determinants of health and health outcomes? The first bar there, the top bar, is for local health department staff. Most said that it would be beneficial, and it has been for showing the link between social determinants and health outcomes. For the general public, a little bit less useful. And then for policymakers, only 33% of the staff said that it would be useful. And this is a little bit troubling because this is really the goal. You want to be talking to policymakers. And early on, it looked like, wow, maybe this isn't going to work out that well. But I'm really happy to report this was done in 2011. If we were to ask the same staff now, it would be a total sea change. This is dovetailed nicely with our CTG capacity building work. And we are getting you know, people are banging on the door to get at the Health Equity Index and to talk to us about addressing the root causes of poor health. So 2011, fast forward to now, it's totally different. I mean, now is the really exciting time for this project. I wish I had more to tell you about it. So at one time, the mayor was emailing me back, right? I have doctors and lawyers emailing me back. So this was, I think, in the minority early on, but now, you know, we can't field enough calls. So some next steps. The index is a great tool right now. We've refreshed the data once already, but it has to be sustainable. So this is a really slow process. For anybody that's done CVPR, right? CVPR, really slow process. Engaging communities in this process is not a 3-year project. It's a 10-year project. So we need to keep the index going. We've got a little bit of funding to keep this going for another year. Local health departments are now getting it free of charge. At some point, if we don't find more funding to keep this going, local health departments in Connecticut are going to have to pay. But I think this is a model that can be used in other states, and we've been approached by other states to see if they can translate this to work for them. And I think it will work. We've enhanced the data, the display in the index. There have really been tremendous changes in the index and how it's been used. We're entering the most exciting phase of this, I think, even though technically the 3-year grant-funded project that was funded by the Kellogg Foundation is over. This is the really exciting time, so I can't say enough about where we're going. It's really great. And we'll take questions at the end, right? Okay, no questions now, questions at the end.